Welcome back to another episode of Talkin' Moto. Missed a week last week. Sucked that happened, but just wasn't able to get around to recording last week, which gives us a little bit more to talk about here for this Daytona recap. And to start it off, I'm just going to start off with the whole Daniel Blair, Ricky Carmichael situation, because that is just something that I wasn't expecting to come out. Not sure if everyone saw it or not, but it has a lot of views on Daniel Blair's YouTube channel. He is at 190,000 views in about 2 days, telling his whole truth about everything that happened with him in the booth, leaving race day live, leaving the TV coverage. I think just about everybody in the entire moto universe, I guess you can call it, really enjoyed Daniel Blair being in the booth. We all thought he gave a bunch of insight, so it kind of sucks to see that it looked like he pretty much just got bullied out of it a little bit. They tried to make him somebody that's not him. He and Ricky didn't quite get along, so it sucks to see all the hate that's coming after Ricky Carmichael now, and my Twitter feed has just been full of Lee Diffie and Ricky Carmichael hate. So I think Wygant is in the booth for Indianapolis this weekend, so hopefully it goes a little bit better. Kind of interested to see how NBC goes about this whole situation, on if Lee Diffie's, how much more he's going to be calling races in the near future here. I'm assuming they probably won't do anything, just kind of stick with their guns and stick with the guys they have under contract now. But yeah, so my stance on it seems like Lee Diffie, Ricky Carmichael, and I think the guy's name was Bondo from NBC, don't seem like the greatest people anymore. I know Lee Diffie didn't really have that good of a approval rating for Supercross races that he was calling anyway, and this definitely did not help it whatsoever. So here at Talkin' Moto, we are Team Daniel Blair. So now that we got that covered up here, let's get into some more exciting stuff that happened in Daytona. To start it off, in qualifying, Daniel Blair was supposed to be there. His segment got cut pretty much completely. They told him that he was only going to have 3 minutes and wasn't able to do any commentary or whatnot, even though his big thing was always the futures and race day live. Futures were there at Daytona this week, so Daniel Blair kind of thought he would be able to do some commentating over the futures. Told him no last second, and so he said, okay, I'm not coming anyway. But time for the pro qualifying here. 250s, RJ Hampshire qualified fastest, 250 East. RJ Hampshire qualified fastest, and it is worth noting, coming into this race, the fastest qualifiers have gone on to win their heat race and then go on to win the main event in every 250 East round. So, RJ Hampshire qualified fastest with a 119.454. Levi Kitchen, who had a little bit of a hiccup in his race. His main event, he did qualify second, though, with a 119.809. And your points leader coming into the race, Max Anstey, qualified fourth with a 120.199, little 199. Travis Pastrana action. And the guy who I thought was going to win Daytona, he got his first win here last year. Tom Vielle qualified 10th with a 122.059. So that is almost 3 seconds. Yeah, around, 2.5 seconds, 2.6. Math, not a strong suit. RJ Hampshire qualified fastest. I thought Levi Kitchen did pretty good coming off of his kind of crazy win that he had in Detroit. And like I said, Tom Vielle, who was my pick, qualified 10th. Interesting note, Cameron McAdoo somehow still qualified with a 122.388. That was 4.11th. So 250 heat race number one. Nate Thrasher went out, grabbed the whole shot. Tom Vielle, his best start of the season so far, had a really good start. Thrasher did go down in the first rhythm, sent Levi off the track because of it. Tom Vielle got the lead. When Levi Kitchen had to go off the track, he got onto the grass in the infield there. It was a little slick. Levi wasn't expecting it. Levi went down. He was able to come back and finish third in his heat race. So, real strong start for Levi Kitchen, qualifying second, and then having a little misstep in his heat race. Kind of not his fault. Had to go off the track so he didn't run over Thrasher or his bike. And then just got caught up in the slick grass. Went down. But Tom Vielle goes on to win his heat race. Nothing crazy really happened. Thrasher qualified 9th after the hole shot and the early crash. Yeah. Heat races were overall not very eventful. They were so non-eventful. All I had was, for heat race number two, was Hampshire hole shot and Hampshire one. Interesting to note, again, on Cameron McAdoo's end, he did qualify 7th in his heat race, so he did move on right to the main event. And then I guess he tweaked his knee. It just got worse. So him and the whole Pro Circuit Monster Energy Kawasaki team there decided his Supercross season is over. He is getting surgery. I believe it might be tomorrow, Thursday, or maybe today as you're listening to this, Thursday. So his Supercross season is over. Did not line up for the main event. And it's kind of weird how they announced it. They held it as a little bit of a secret until after the race. He just said they'd talk about it later, when they easily just could have said it was his knee. Kind of what most people figured it was when it was gate drop time for the main event and he wasn't there. Most people just kind of figured, oh well, knee gave out too many times and that's his season. Sucks for Cameron McAdoo, who was definitely in the championship talks until the torn ACL in the preseason and was never really able to get his season going with the big crash in Detroit that caused the red flag there, where he got the uppercut from his handlebars, big gash on his upper cheek there. So, bad news for Cameron McAdoo and the entire Pro Circuit team there, because main event came around and it did not get any better for them. So let's just take a gander at the main event now. So yeah, McAdoo was out and they just said explain later. Obviously the explain later there was injury reasons. Tom Vielle, though, I said he got one of his best starts of the season in the heat race. He could have only gotten one spot better, and he did that for the main event. Goes out, grabs the whole shot. Max Anstey went down. Kind of looks like he might have clipped the tire of... holy smokes, blanking here. Tom Vielle, I don't know how that just totally didn't cross my mind. Let's see, you're taking a look here at the start. No, Anstey hits the round tough block, little disc, the same type of tough block that RJ Hampshire hit in Tampa. Anstey hit that. And then went down first turn, gets up in dead last there. So bad start for your points leader right off the very beginning. He was able to come back for a sixth place finish overall. So good on Max there, going from last to sixth. And then, where RJ Hampshire was able to grab the lead from Tom Vielle after going through the split sand section there. Hampshire tripled into the corner, was able to just carry more momentum around it and get past Tom Vielle. And then it happened with Levi Kitchen. After the finish line jump, there was kind of a little mini triple high-speed section. Levi hits it with just his back tire. His front tire kind of missed it, sent him flipping a little bit, and he went down very, very hard. Caused a red flag with 7 minutes left. So RJ Hampshire, once again, in a red flag situation that he doesn't want to find himself in. And it is three main events now for the 250 East. Three red flags in main events for said 250 East. We do have an update on Levi Kitchen, though. Where'd it go? There it is. He suffered a broken collarbone and a couple fractures in his upper back. So, not ideal whatsoever. Like I said earlier, Cameron McAdoo's out for the rest of the season. And I don't know the whole collarbone situation, how long that takes to heal. So, I'm going to go listen to what Levi Kitchen had to say in the video that he posted and see if he says anything about that. Okay, he did not give an update on when he could possibly return. Not very surprised, because he did take the video in the hospital bed. He just said he's happy it is only what it is, and that it could have been a little bit worse. Said he thought he found a new level of riding, and he just got a little bit greedy in that section, and that's what bit him. Got a little greedy It was a very fast section. And, yeah, sucks for Levi Kitchen, another guy who was a little bit further into the championship conversation coming into the season than his teammate Cameron McAdoo, but still sucks to see anybody go down that hard, but he will be back eventually. Like I said, I don't know exactly when, but he will be back eventually. So now back to the race. Vial looked like he was pretty aggressive after the restart and just wasn't able to make a move on RJ Hampshire. So RJ Hampshire did go on to win the main event. So this is now three races for the East and three times now that the winner has gone fastest qualifier, wins the heat race, and then goes on to win the main event. So Hampshire won. Tom Vial was able to hold on for a second. And Seth Hamaker made a pass on Chance Hymus for the last spot of the podium. And like I said, Max Anstey, after going down in the very first corner, was able to get up and finish back in sixth place. So he still has the championship lead with 6 points above Tom Vial, 13 over Hymus, 14 over Hampshire, and 18 over Nate Thrasher. So I think this next week it's going to be an East-West shootout. That's not just thinking, that's a fact. But these East-West shootouts are very big for point situations going on. Because if you remember last year, Levi Kitchen and Cameron McAdoo both had red plates for their respective coasts, both on the Pro Circuit Kawasaki team, and then they hit each other and both lost the red plates in the same night. And that's where RJ Hampshire was down and regained the points lead. I believe it was Nashville got him back into the championship fight on the West Coast. And same thing with Tom Vial on the East Coast, leading to Vial and Hampshire winning said championships. We will go now to the 450 side of things, where in a little bit we will once again be hitting the Chase Sexton crashed button. But to start it, we are hitting the Chase Sexton is very fast button. So Sexton goes out, qualifies fastest with a 117.938, right in front of, a little bit of a surprise, Justin Cooper with a 118.058. And then your points leader here in the 450 class, Cooper Webb, qualified fifth with a 119.288, right behind Ken Roczen with a 119.041. And then Plessinger, who popped up on the podium this weekend, qualified seventh with a 119.829. So maybe Plessinger doesn't quite have it in qualifying. He was a little froggy in his heat race, and he was definitely there in his main event. So now going to 450 heat number one, Shane McElrath went out, grabbed the hole shot. That didn't last for too long. Ken Roczen threw a nice little scrub over the finish line jump. Called it maybe a little like a little Bubba scrub type of action over the finish line to get the lead. And here. Yeah, he stayed. Ken Roczen stayed a lot lower than McElrath over the finish line jump. Was just able to carry more momentum through that section and into the whoops, where he really finished the pass on Shane McElrath. And then, both of them held their own there. Roczen went on to win the main event. McElrath in second. Justin Cooper qualified second, finished fifth in the heat race. Yeah. 450 heat number two, Chase Sexton got a great jump, grabbed the whole shot. His start here might have been the best jump he's ever had if it wasn't for San Francisco last year, where he just completely just guessed and went for it and had three bike lengths in the first 10 feet from everybody. But he had a great jump. And Cooper Webb went down in turn one? No. Yes, it was. Cooper Webb just slid out in turn number one. And then in the first rhythm section, like Nate Thrasher, Chase Sexton, he kind of cross ruts, kind of came up short a little bit on a jump, kind of kicks him forward, cross ruts, and then isn't able to get the drive up the next takeoff. Front wheel hits, bike goes cartwheeling, he goes down, bars were all bent up, so he had to go back to the truck, wasn't able to finish the race. It's hard to call them just like silly mistakes, because yes, they are going so fast and it's just, they have so much speed, but it just seems like they're constantly just little silly mistakes that he makes cost him the heat race. Then he had to go to the LCQ, got the whole shot there, led it, won it, but during the entire thing, his handlebars came loose, and after he landed on the finish line jump, you could see him moving his handlebars forward and back, so kind of like repositioning them essentially. So he said he had to roll a bunch of stuff the last, I think it was like lap and a half, he said, of his LCQ that he did end up winning. And Malcolm Stewart, back in Florida, wins his heat race. Plessinger, I called it a confidence-building ride. Seemed like maybe it's just a speedway track, or maybe Plessinger's found something in his bike. But definitely seemed like a very confidence-building race for Aaron Plessinger. So now, 4:50 main event time. Like I said, Sexton goes through the LCQ, loose handlebars, wins it anyway, able to get on to the main event, which we will now get on to as well. So Jason Anderson was actually able to go out, grab the hole shot with, who was it? Cooper Webb was right behind him, and Chase Sexton having the bad gate pick after having to go through the LCQ was in 10th. But old Aaron Plessinger, like I said, he was feeling froggy a little bit in his heat race, and then he just kept it going into the main event and was able to grab the lead just on the first rhythm section, and Sexton, am I? Yeah, okay. Sexton did not seem right this entire race. I'll get into that a little bit more, I guess, in the big takeaway portion of this. But how did... Holy smokes. Tough start to the main event here. Fumbling over words and whatnot. But where do we got it? Okay. So we got to backtrack a little bit here. It was not the first rhythm. Well, I guess you can call it the first rhythm section of a new lap. Kind of like how Ken Roczen got the lead from... excuse me. Ken Roczen got the lead from Shane McElrath in the heat race. That is how Plessinger got the lead from Jason Anderson in the main event. Was just able to keep more speed and momentum. I am confused. Okay. All right. Yeah, we got it all figured out here. Ken Roczen gets into the lead. In two laps, Cooper Webb was in second. Towards the end of the race, Roczen in the lead, Webb in second. Cooper Webb takes a 5-second gap down to about 1 second in two laps. We all know the stigma of Cooper Webb behind Ken Roczen, late race situations. Didn't know if I want to say scenarios or situation there, but I said something. Kind of a combo of them. I was honestly expecting Cooper Webb to make the pass. It's just how it happens. Cooper Webb late in the race against really anybody, but mainly Ken Roczen. Cooper Webb always finds a way to get the job done. But not in Daytona. Cooper Webb made a little mistake, and it absolutely killed his momentum for the lead. Ken Roczen was able to hang on, get his first career Daytona win. Took him 11 shots at it, I believe he said. Now, the cool part going into this race, we knew that we were going to have a first-time winner, no matter who won it. We were going to have a first-time winner this race because Eli Tomac's out, and all the Daytona wins that he has. Jet Lawrence is also out. He got his Daytona win last year. So those were the only two guys coming into the season with a win in Daytona. So it was cool getting a new winner here in Daytona, a very historic track, historic race. So yeah, congrats to Ken Roczen, keeping his championship hopes alive, only down by 16 now. And he did only make up a couple points with Cooper Webb coming in second, but still 16 points down, Chase Sexton down 10. We'll finish this off here, and then that will lead us into the big takeaways that I had. So Aaron Plessinger, third, Justin Cooper, fourth, and Chase Sexton all the way down in fifth place here. Big takeaway time. 450s, big takeaway time. I realize I didn't do it for the 250s. I will do that after this. But Chase Sexton finishing in fifth place, not good whatsoever for him. It seemed like he just didn't seem like he was right. He basically just let Plessinger by And Justin Cooper got by him late in the race. I don't know if it was just sore from his crash in his heat race. I don't know if he was just tired or exhausted or something after having to go to the LCQ, but he didn't finish a lap in his heat race, so I don't see Chase Sexton being tired or not fit as an excuse. He's one of the most fit guys on the line, so I don't think I can blame it on fitness. I think it had to be I think he just had to be sore. He did put out a little statement. Daytona was up and down. I qualified fastest but crashed in my heat, forcing me to qualify to the main through the LCQ, so it definitely was not my best night. In the end, I did what I could tonight, but just didn't have enough in the tank. And then him saying that kind of makes me think maybe it was a fitness thing. I know a couple weeks ago he mentioned, I think it was in Detroit, after Detroit, he mentioned maybe he's just got to cut back during the week, maybe going too hard during the week, and he's just tired for Saturday. So I don't know if maybe he did end up cutting back, maybe cut back a little too far during the week, and he's just not in the same fitness level. Maybe his fitness has dropped a little bit because he's trying to save himself a little bit more for the weekend, and so in turn, he's not doing as much during the week. Maybe he just hasn't found that happy medium, had the good balance there. But Sexton, what is he, down 10, correct? Yeah, down 10, plenty of racing left. I do think they're going to a track that favors Cooper Webb. Just plain and simple, dirt-wise, I think next week in Indianapolis favors Cooper Webb. But Chase Sexton can be pretty good in the ruts as well. Sexton's got to, he needs a win. He needs to stop the momentum of Cooper Webb and stop the self-bleeding, pretty much, that he's putting himself through. I need to see a big weekend here out of Chase Sexton. Sure, go ahead, qualify fastest, go win your heat race, but it's got to count when it comes down to points paying time. Chase Sexton really needs to figure it out on Saturday. What else did I have? I think Cooper Webb would have won if he didn't make that a little mistake when he was closing down on Ken Roczen. He definitely seemed like he was gaining on him. I mean, he took a 5-second gap down to around 1 second in two laps. But can't make big mistakes in the end, towards the end of races in the 450 class, or you won't have a chance. And that's what happened to Cooper Webb. Ken Roczen goes on. Just another year, another win for Ken Roczen. This is also now 6 winners in 8 races in the 450 class, which is almost as amazing as the 250 East situation with the fastest qualifier, heat race win, main event win with a red flag happening in all of their main events. I had somebody comment on my post about Ken Roczen and the six winners in 8 races. I gotta find that real quick now. They said it would be awesome to get seven. Only third time this century we've had six winners. And the other two times were 2015 and 2024. And so it kind of made me think of who that seventh winner could be. I think it is Aaron Plessinger. If we do get another winner this year, I think it could be Aaron Plessinger, that's for sure. So he would be my seventh winner of the year if it happens. But now that I say it, it's probably going to be Justin Hill or Jason Anderson. .250 big takeaway time. Another red flag. It just sucks to keep seeing continuously having red flag races in this 250 class. Like I said, every main event we've had one. Cameron McAdoo, Levi Kitchen, being teammates, being the reason for red flags in back-to-back races, sucks. Just in general, it just sucks to see guys going down every single week. Why are we not? There we go. Computer decided to be a little bit slow. Who was Tampa? Pierce Brown. Pierce Brown in Tampa. I said that like that was just the end. Pierce Brown in Tampa, Cameron McAdoo in Detroit, and now Levi Kitchen in Daytona. I've mentioned it a couple times, the fastest qualifier, heat race win, whatnot, gone on to be the main event winner. I think maybe the biggest one, RJ Hampshire did not RJ Hampshire this race. Very proud of him for not doing that. He's kind of got a little bit of a stigma where he can have a race won, or he can be coming from behind and kind of get to, or he'll be in second down by 5 seconds with two laps left and he's still pushing. Which, I mean, shout out to him for never giving up. But sometimes it does come to bite him in the butt. But it did not happen in Daytona. So very happy for RJ Hampshire. He also said on the podium that some random guy came up and gave him one of RJ Hampshire's dad's old racing jerseys. And so he said that was really cool to get. But yeah, RJ Hampshire did not RJ Hampshire in Daytona. So moving on to Indy, we will be taking a look at the track map. Obviously something completely and totally different from what we just saw in Daytona. It's going back into a football stadium. This time we have a big 180 left-handed turn. Why is that not zooming in? So after, there's a weird way to say it, after the 180 turn goes over the backside of a berm, under the tunnel, and then into a 90-degree right-hand turn into a 180. Well, there's a rhythm, little rhythm section there, 180, another little rhythm section over the tunnel, and then a long, sweeping, left-handed sand section, which on the track map, it looks like it's going to be a little, another kind of little split section maybe, into a short rhythm section, another 180 over the start, 180, couple wall jumps in there. Whoops. 180. So we got 180s. Finish line jump, 180. So hopefully with the ruts that we will most likely be getting, Indy is known for their track breaking down, lots of ruts. I remember this was a couple years ago. They had a little roller in the middle of a turn. Just through qualifying, sucker got just completely flattened. There was just a giant line right through the middle of it. So the part about Cooper Webb, he likes going very low in turns. Ruddy tracks will allow him to do that a little bit more, and kind of create his own lines down there. Chase Sexton, growing up in this part of the country, in Illinois, neighboring state to Indiana, usually pretty good in ruddy conditions. We saw what he did last time they were up here. Went from in Detroit, from getting stuck in the gate to then crashing, he came all the way back up to third place. So I think it's a coin flip between them two. But I think it's going to be Cooper Webb in the end. I know I said Chase Sexton needs to show me something here. I just don't think he will, to be honest. 250s. We got an east-west shootout. So we got West Coast. Deegan, their points leader, up 6 points over Beaumaire. Cole Davies, the big sensation over on the West Coast, the rookie kind of taking over, showing how good he can be in Glendale, winning the first two Triple Crown motos. And then Joe Shimoda with the broken fingers in fourth, and then in fifth, Jordan Smith, who will not be racing in Indy, said he did everything possible he could to be back for this race, but his sights are now set on Seattle a little bit later in March. March 29th. Does that check out? Yeah, it does. Jordan Smith, big, one of the big guns over in the West Coast, like I said, out. I honestly have no clue who's going to win this 250 race. Just with putting both of the classes together, and now Levi Kitchen's going to be out, one of the big guys from the East. Jordan Smith's out from the West. I don't know if I really want to make a pick for this. I guarantee you somebody is going to win. That's all I'm going to say. But if I had to, Juju, I don't know. He's just got something in my mind. But I wouldn't be surprised if Cole Davies just comes out here and surprises everybody once again. And holy smokes. I was not thinking it was going to be this difficult. Although I should have. Max Anstey, why not? I think he's going to recover after the problems that he had early in Daytona. I think last time I picked a sweep, it was Daytona, but I thought I had one where I had Cooper Webb and Deegan, but this time I think it's Cooper Webb and Maxuel Anstey. I don't think his real name's Maxuel. But yeah, give me Cooper Webb. Give me Max Anstey. And give me a follow, like, comment, all that good stuff on talking_moto. That's going to wrap us up here for the Daytona recap. Little Daniel Blair drama in the beginning of the show. Little bit of Indy preview. Yeah, talking_moto on X, Twitter, whatever. Subscribe, comment, like, all the fun stuff, and we will be back next week talking East-West shootout time. See ya.